The scripture passages today start in John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The second passage is John 1:4-12. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And the third passage is John 3:16-21. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. This is the word of the Lord."
We're in John 8:12, as well as those other passages. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." So this is our second message in a series on the sayings in the Gospel of John, where Jesus begins to say, "I am." Several answers to the question, who is Jesus? Well, as we begin, will you pray with me? Our Father, we come to you now, and we are in great need of your help. Our words are weak. Your word is not weak, so please honor your word and honor your Son with the help of your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Who is Jesus? This was the question on everyone's mind in John 7, the context for Jesus' statement in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world." In verses 1 through 9, his brothers, Jesus' brothers, near home, up in north in Galilee, with the Feast of Tabernacles approaching, where the whole nation would gather in Jerusalem, they said to Jesus, if you're who you say you are, go down and do your works for the big crowd. And the passage says, for not even his brothers believed in him. And then in verses 10 through 12, the Jews, his own countrymen, were looking for him at the feast. Where is he? And they had contrary opinions about his identity. Some said he is a good man, and others that he's leading people astray. At that point, Jesus appeared at the feast and began teaching the crowds, verses 14 through 24. The people of Jerusalem, verses 25 through 29, "Isn't this the man they're seeking to kill? And here he is speaking openly, and the authorities say nothing. Maybe they realize that he is the Christ." But we know where Jesus is from, and the Christ will just come out of nowhere, so he can't be the Christ. And verses 40 through 43, some who were listening to Jesus said that Moses' prophecy in Deuteronomy 18 of the prophet capital P, coming. Well, this, surely this is the prophet. And others were saying this is the Christ, and yet others are saying, he's from Galilee. He has to be from Bethlehem, so this can't be the Christ. And the Pharisees, verses 44 through 52, sent officers to arrest Jesus. And they come back without him saying, hey, no one ever spoke like this man. We can't arrest him. And the Pharisees said, you've been taken in. Have any of us, the big dogs, the learned PhDs, believed in him? So, who is Jesus? The question was reverberating. And people were wondering. That same question throughout history has been pondered by many and argued about. And some have pursued him with great hunger and humility and answered in so many different ways. Who is Jesus? But let's listen to Jesus proclaim himself. Here he takes the question of his identity head on, and he says, I am the light of the world. Now that answer was unexpected. He did not speak in the categories that people were thinking. He used different vocabulary. Is he the Christ? Is he the prophet? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And so often, Jesus answers our questions in ways that surprise us, in ways that upend all our preconceptions. And we're looking at these several passages where Jesus says who he is, the I am sayings. Because the answer as to who is Jesus is not simple or single. But it's not a surprise, right? I mean, if I asked you who you are, maybe you would say I'm a tennis player, or maybe I'm a knitter, or a researcher, or I am a gardener. It's all the same person, but just different aspects of their identity. I am the light of the world. Jesus' bold declaration of his identity, frankly, is shocking if you stand back and think about it. He's the 30-year-old son of a carpenter, no formal education. And he claims to be the light of the world? Audacious. A megalomaniac? Too much time in the Middle Eastern sun? But what if Jesus is exactly who he says he is? If so, everything changes. Well, let's look at what Jesus is saying. I am the light of the world. We'll answer two questions. First question, why light? Why does he use this terminology? What does Jesus mean? Well, light, I mean, in a sense, that's obvious, right? You walk into a very dark room and you don't know what's there. Could be friends crowded around ready to sing happy birthday for a surprise party. But it could be that there are thugs ready to jump you, rob you, and beat you. What's in this dark room? Oh, maybe a cornered lion just escaped from the zoo, ready to pounce and tear you limb from limb. You don't know because you can't see in the dark. So you could light a match and see the room barely, vaguely. You could switch on a flashlight and you could see partially here and then selectively over there. Or turn on the overhead light and you see everything. The room is fully illuminated. So what is light? Light enables us to see what's there. It was there all along. The couch, the chair, the table, the toys on the floor. No lion, no bad guys, no surprise party. Light did not create those realities. It just exposes what's there to our view. So light gives a clear vision of and awareness of reality. It removes the questions, the misconceptions, along with possibly the fears and anxieties of the unknown. That is what light is. But here, our passage, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So building on what we already said, Jesus is not just a light, not a match, not a flashlight, but he is the light of the world, the one and only light that helps us see what really is the singular light that illuminates not just a dark room, and not just your front porch, but he illuminates the whole world, all of mankind, every culture, every epoch of time. Jesus claims to give us a clear vision of all of reality, a worldview. But not only that, and here flip back to John 1:9, which said, and it's the same thing, right? The light of the world. Here it says, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So we just said that Jesus helps us understand the whole world, the light of the world. But here it says Jesus gives light to everyone, to all of humanity. The light, the world, all creation had been waiting for. Jesus is light, and he gives light. But if that's the case, what does he enable us to see? So, two perspectives here. One is the intellectual dimension of Jesus as true light. He helps us understand our world. We humans can't help but wonder, who am I? Is there a purpose, a meaning to my existence, to the world's existence? Or are we random, just a cosmic accident? Is there such a thing as objective truth or justice? Or is it simply that I and my wants is the main thing that matters in my world? Jesus appears as the light of the world, giving light to everyone. He doesn't ask what we think. He doesn't ask permission. He's a light, and he just shines, and the darkness evaporates. And now we can see the reality that was always there, but not visible to us in the darkness. He shines and declares, there is a God. The ultimate self-existent God, the creator and ruler of our world. And this God orchestrates his world, bringing about his plan, his purposes, as he directs all the events that occur, that roll forward around us. And we are the created ones in this world under his authority. We are not ultimate. We do not determine our destiny. There'd been matches before and flashlights before, visions, miracles, prophets. But Jesus comes and shows us the Father. He shows us who we are. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is light that we may see and know. So we're saying light has this intellectual, this knowing aspect to it. But as we read our Gospels, we see that there's another aspect to light, a moral dimension of Jesus as the true light. In John 3, as Carrie read, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and he says that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. God sent his Son, and the light came into the world. And like in a dark room, the light shines and it chases the darkness out, and we can see. And so when in John 3, Jesus speaks, what was seen? Verse 19, this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Light exposes. We see what's in the dark room. And what does light expose in this world, as Jesus says? It exposes that people, their works were evil. They do wicked things. And they don't want to come to the light that Jesus brings, because their deeds would be exposed for what they really are, as evil. The light exposes, and we see ourselves. We see ourselves as we truly are. Not just the bad people are evil, but I find that I am evil. And the light didn't do this to me. It didn't make me evil. Christianity doesn't make us feel guilty or slander us by calling us a sinner. The light just exposes what was lurking unseen in the darkness until the light was switched on. It exposes me as I really am. And so now we see. But we don't like what we see. Me, evil? Me, a sinner? You make me mad. How dare you call me a sinner? John 3:20, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light. There is this emotional reaction to the light that exposes me as a sinner. And he hates the light. Why? Because his works were evil. And he will not come to the light. He will not come to Jesus because his works are going to be exposed, and that stirs him up with hate. I like the pleasure of sin. I like all that it gives me. It gives me popularity, gives me prestige, gives me power, gives me prosperity. Don't take that from me. I don't like the light. I love darkness. But Jesus shines the light. And there are not just intellectual implications, no God, no myself, but there's these moral implications, good and evil. And I'm exposed as evil by Jesus' teaching and Jesus' life. The light shines in the darkness. Well, that's the first question. Why light? Why are we talking about light? Second question, who is light? Jesus says, I am the light of the world, the light of the world. Or as we saw in John 1, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus came into the world as a baby and as a man, not just to reveal, not just to show things as they really are, but he came to give us that light. The true light, which gives light to everyone. Jesus, as light, came to give light to everyone. Yes, he came to teach us about God's sin, ourselves, and himself, but he also came to take our sins away. He came to give light to everyone. He was made sin for us. He bears our sins, and on the cross takes all the punishment that God's justice demands for my sin, for your sin, as he dies in my place. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Father, out of love, not out of a desire to condemn, not out of a desire to expose, but the Father out of love sent his Son into the world, sent the light into the world to save. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And the Father sent Jesus to accomplish this. But when Jesus died, the question was in the air, was that enough? I mean, did Jesus' death, did that satisfy the Father's demands of justice for our sins. It was only 3 hours of darkness. Was something else necessary for my sins to be absolved? Heaven waited for the answer as Jesus died and as they took his body and laid it in a tomb. Jesus had asserted with his dying breath that it is finished, but was it finished? Heaven waited for the answer. The angels looked and waited for the answer. And all creation waited for the answer. Was this enough to take away my sins? And early Sunday morning, the answer comes as God the Father raises Jesus from the grave. Justice has been satisfied. Our sins, every last one of them, have been fully paid for. Forgiveness is ours for the asking because the Father raised Jesus from the dead. The work was done. And so Jesus came to bring light. First to his own people, the Jews, the countrymen. John 1:11 says he came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. We will not have this man to rule over us. But they would not receive him, and they rejected the light. And we heard those questions in John 7. Some received, some rejected. And now Jesus comes to you. And he answers the identity question. He says who he is. I am the light of the world. And the question is, what will you do with this Jesus? His own people did not receive him, John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, not reject him, but receive him as he claims to be, but to all who did receive him, what does it mean to receive him? Who believed on his name, who believed that he is who he says he is, that he can do what he says he can do, that he is the light that comes to every man. Will you receive him, believing that he is who he says he is, but also believing in him? For it says that to all who did receive him, who believed not that what he said was true, but who believed in his name. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? It means that you will follow him, that you will trust him, that what he did was enough for you, that his sacrifice on the cross takes away your sins. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So if you will follow Jesus and make him your hope for forgiveness, let him shine his light on you, expose your sins, be willing to part ways with your chosen brand of sin, that he will be your light. You will not walk in darkness. You will have a light within, the light of life. Jesus said to Nicodemus, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him. God didn't send the light, Jesus, just to make the cockroaches run away. Not to condemn us. Not to turn over the rock so the worms will squirm. That's that introduction of light. No, Jesus is the light that comes to give us light, to save, to vanquish our darkness, to give us life for deadness, forgiveness for our guilt, joy for our sorrow. And as he says in John 1, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to call God our Father. So will you believe in Jesus? He comes from the God who loves, who saves, who gives his own son in order to save. Come to Jesus, the light. See who you are, a sinner, but see who Jesus is, the light that gives light to the world. And just a word to Christians. Follow Jesus, and you will not walk in darkness. Jesus is the light, continuously chasing darkness out of your light. So come to Jesus, the light, and bring your sins, and let them be exposed. Yeah, the light hurts your eyes, but you're a child of the light, and the light is your friend. And so confess your sins today, and confess your sins tomorrow, and confess your sins this afternoon. It's an ongoing, never-ending process. This is the normal Christian life. Come to the light. Don't hold back from the light, but be willing to expose yourself to God as you are. The passage that we read earlier, 1 John 1, it says that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's an ongoing process. And we will walk in the light as he is in the light. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you for Jesus. We pray that you may give us grace to embrace him, to receive him, to believe in him, that we may receive his light and walk in the light. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.